The heart that God has given us is quite a machine. It is a very complex machine. It does a lot of things that we are aware of and other things that we are not even aware of. Without it, we would die. We cannot live without our heart. Spiritually speaking, Jesus said that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak, in Matthew 12:35. The Bible also tells us that the heart is the source of many sin, adultery, lust, doubt, hatred, murder, pride, rebellion. All those things come from the heart. But the heart is also the source of good things. Love, obedience, affection, joy, happiness. These things also start in the heart. It is the source as well of bad feelings, fear, sorrow, grief, anguish. Just as the heart plays a very important part in the physical realm, so it does in the spiritual realm. It is therefore crucial to take good care of our heart. Now, many people carefully watch the physical condition of their heart. They monitor their blood pressure. They faithfully take their medication for their heart. They exercise regularly for their heart. But somehow, they don't seem to be as concerned with the spiritual condition of their heart. They do not give it the proper spiritual nourishment. They do not exercise their heart spiritually. And as a result, they are physically fit, but they struggle spiritually. Why? Because their heart is not spiritually healthy. It is either covetous or lustful, unrepentant or proud. It is rebellious or callous. It is impure or unforgiving. It is wicked or dishonest. The person then lives a miserable life. This morning in our text, Jesus is going to talk about the heart, more specifically about the different conditions of a person's heart. He is going to show us that the heart can easily be influenced. Therefore, it is our responsibility to watch the condition of our heart. Our topic this morning is your heart tender? Please turn to our text. We are still in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 1, as we continue where we stopped last week. Chapter 4 has four parts. We see four things there. First, the Word of God in the first 20 verses. Then the light of God, verses 21 to 25. Then the kingdom of God, verses 26 to 34. And finally, the power of God, verses 35 to 41. Today, we'll only take the first part, the Word of God. So Mark continues the story of the life of Jesus, and he says in verse 1 of chapter 4, and again he began to teach by the sea, and a great multitude was gathered to him, so that he got into a boat and sat in it on the sea, and the whole multitude was on the land facing the sea. Then he taught them many things by parables, and he said to them in his teaching, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside. And the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony ground, where it did not have much earth. And immediately it sprang up, but it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So once again, Jesus was teaching a large crowd of people by the Sea of Galilee. He had taught large crowds earlier in chapter 2 and also in chapter 3, verse 7. Here the crowd was so large that he was kind of forced to go sit in a boat out on the lake and teach those who were lined up on the shore in verse 1. Mark says in verse 2 that this time he taught them many things by parable. The word parable is a transliteration of a Greek word that means comparison. It can have many forms of speech, but usually it is a short story that expresses a spiritual truth by making a striking comparison. The truth to be taught is compared to something in nature or to a common life experience. A parable is a story, an illustration in a picture form to make people understand. They say that a picture is worth 1,000 words. Most people can understand a picture much more than just words. A parable usually helps people to grasp a truth. The picture here is in verses 3 to 8. A man went out with a bag of seeds, and he started to sow. But the seeds were, they were going 4 different directions. Number one, they went by the wayside, Mark says in verse 4. That's the pathway. That's the road. It's hard. And it cannot penetrate, so it stays there on the road in plain view, in an open place, and the birds immediately come and they devour those seeds. They love to eat seed. Then another place in verse 5 is on stony ground, a hard, stony, dry place, hard ground with a soft surface dirt on it. Because of that soft surface, some seed immediately took root, but not having depth for deep root, they dry up, and the hot sun comes up and burned it, in verse 6. Another location in verse 7 is among the thorns, a crowded place with no room to really grow. The thorns choke the growth of the seed. And the other location in verse 8 is on good ground, in a rich, moist soil. The seed has no problem there. It grew and yielded a great crop. So we have an open place, a hard place, a crowded place, and a rich place. Jesus pointed out that not all the seeds produced a crop. The birds ate the seeds that fell on the path. The sun scorch the tender blade that quickly sprouted in the shallow rocky soil, and the thorns choke some others, making them unproductive. Now you may wonder, why didn't the farmer only cast his seed on the good soil? Well, some fell on the pathway by accident because of the wind. The sower is sowing, the wind catches, and the seed goes different places. Any farmer knows better than to sow seed into a road. Also, the farmer had no way of knowing exactly where the rocks were and where the thorns might grow. So he did not purposely sow the seeds in the stony ground. By contrast, the seeds on the good soil took root. It grew. It produced a very abundant harvest. It brought crops up to 30, 60, even 100 times the seed sown. Verse 8, depending on the fertility of the soil. Back then, a yield of 10 to 1 was considered a great crop. Of the seeds that fell on the good ground, all of them produced, but not all produced at the same degree. Notice that the parable does not begin with the words, "The kingdom of God is like." It starts with the description of how the kingdom of God began. The kingdom begins by planting the word of God or preaching the word of God. Even though this is commonly called the parable of the sower, it should be called the parable of the soils. The difference is not in the seeds, but in the soil that they land on. Mark goes on, he says in verse 9, and he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." But when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parable. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things comes in parable, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them." So when Jesus was alone with his 12 disciples, some others came to him, and they asked him about the parables in general, verse 10. They did not want to confess that they did not get it. We never like to admit when we don't get something. They simply ask him to explain his method of communication. Why do you talk in parable? Later in verse 13, Jesus will confirm that they had not understood the parable. So his reply, verse 11, Jesus made a distinction. He distinguished between the unbelieving crowds, those outside, and the believing disciples. The crowds was clearly rejecting him, even though their rejection was not made obvious until the cross. Those were not permitted to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, whereas his true followers would be helped to understand. Now, verse 12 is very difficult to understand. It sounds as if Jesus is saying that he spoke in parable so the people would not be able to understand. Not so. He would not deliberately disguise his meaning from his listeners. Jesus taught in parables so those with open mind, they would believe, they would have an open believing heart, and they will better understand. But those with a hard unbelieving heart will not understand. A parable revealed the truth to the believing heart, but it kind of hid it to the unbelieving heart. By teaching in parable, Jesus could discern right away those with open, humble hearts and those with hard, proud hearts. Those with hard, proud hearts see with their eyes, but they do not understand what they are looking at. They see Jesus, but they do not really understand who he is. They hear God's word with their ears, but they do not understand it. Such people have already turned from God in their hearts. Inside, they don't want to know anything about God. They may seem interested, but they're not. They have already denied God. their spiritual eyes, their spiritual hearts are all closed. God does not close people's spiritual eyes. God does not hide spiritual truth from people. He wants all men to understand. He wants all men to be saved. We know from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. But they themselves close their eyes. They turn from God. They are not interested. Anyone who comes to Christ with an honest heart, he or she will know. This is an important spiritual truth. He who continues to reject God's word will soon lose all ability to understand it. But he who has received God's word will receive even more spiritual understanding. Since they were a living fulfillment of a prophecy from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, so Jesus quoted it to them here in verse 12. They did not want to hear the word of God. Having ears to hear, they would not hear. Having eyes to see, they would not see. They were not interested. There is a saying, there are none so blind as those who will not see. They will not see because they are not interested to look. So why speak in parables? For three reasons here. Number one, to excite interest and arouse curiosity. Number two, to give light to those with trusting, searching hearts. And number three, to bring darkness to those with unconcerned, uninterested heart. Mark continues, he says in verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they hear, Satan comes immediately and take away the word that was sown in their heart. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness. And they have no root in themselves. And so they endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word. And the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground. Those who hear the word, they accept it, and they bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. So having explained why he used parables, the Lord proceeded to explain what this particular parable means. He did not identify the sower, but we can be sure that it refers to himself. In the parable of the wheat and tares in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus clearly identified himself as the one sowing seeds. It is also a reference to anyone who preached the message of the kingdom of God. We are sowers. We send the seed. So it's a reference here to Jesus, but also to any of us who will sow seed. Then Jesus defined the seed. Very clearly, it is the word of God, verse 14. Now the soil represents the hearts of those who hear the word. The different types of reception to the word of God by different soils. Reception number one in verse 15, the seeds by the wayside. This soil is hard, because it has never been plowed. The seed cannot penetrate that hard soil, so it stays on the soil. Being in plain view, the birds come and they devour it. Jesus explained that the birds of the air are a type of Satan. He snatches away the seed immediately from the hearts of the hearers. The hard-packed pathway are people who refuse to receive the message. They hear the gospel, but they do not understand it. Not because they cannot, but because they want not. The Pharisees were hard soil hearers. There are people who have so hardened their hearts to God and to God's word that the seed of the word cannot penetrate their heart at all. The devil comes and he takes away the word the moment it comes their way, so that they will not believe and they will not be saved. As the birds have a quick eye for food, so demons are trained to be quick to go and take away what falls on a person's heart. The word is stolen by birds because it is exposed instead of being buried into the heart. So this is the first type of soil. This is the first type of heart. The first respond to the word. Reception number two is in verse 16. The seeds on the stony ground. This soil has only a thin skin of soil over some rock. In such a soil, there is no moisture. There is no nourishment. The growth is rapid, but the withering is also quick. It is bound to wither and die because it has no depth. Because it cannot go deep, it is not strong. This represents people who hear the word and respond quickly with joy. They're all excited. Oh, I hear the word of God. At first, the sower is happy that his preaching is so successful. But he quickly learns that it is not good when the message is received with smiles and cheers. There must be conviction of sin. There must be contrition. There must be repentance. It is far more promising to see an inquirer weeping his way to the cross than to see him walking down the aisle lightheartedly and cheerfully. There are people who have a shallow heart, a superficial emotional heart. They are easily interested, easily impressed, but they have no depth of conviction, no faith. They have an emotional experience. Their faith is based upon their emotion. All excited, they emotionally ask Jesus to come into their heart. We are not saved by feelings. We are saved by faith in God's promises in his word. They can sing to God for hours and hours. They are full of joy and goosebumps. J-Lo, she called it goosies. Or they can cry for over an hour. But the next morning, they are still at the same place doing the same thing and getting involved again in the same sin. Their emotional experience did not change them a bit. Emotions are not bad, but emotions are not nourishment for the heart. We are not to trust emotion because they will play tricks on us. If we do not get deep into the word, these emotions will come and go. They will change, but we will not grow on them. A faith that is based on emotion is a shallow faith. Notice what Jesus says in verse 17. He also said it in Matthew 13:21. They endure for a while. They appear to be Christians. They believe for a while, but at the first sign of a trial or a little tribulation or a little persecution, they bail out. These emotional people are quickly excited in and they are quickly excited out. Having no depth, they fall away whenever temptation comes. Then you have reception, number 3 in verse 18. The seeds among the thorn. This soil may look good enough to sow. From afar, it looks really good, but it is not. It is possible to make any ground look good and clean by turning it over. But if thorns have been left inside, then the good seed, the thorn, they will grow together. The thorn being stronger will choke the good seed. The thorn-infested ground represent another class of people who hear the word in a superficial way. Outwardly, they appear to be genuine subjects of the kingdom. But in time, their interest is choked out by the cares of this world and their delight in riches. There is no fruit for God in their lives. In verse 19, Jesus identified the thorns. The seed is choked by three things. Number one, he says, the cares of this world. Not this world. The cares of this world. They are all entangled with the affairs of this world. They worry all the time about everything that's happening in the world. That is choking the word, the seed inside of them. Number two, the deceitfulness of riches. Not riches, the deceitfulness of riches. The promises that riches are the answer to everything, the answer to happiness. It is not. Many are deceived, they chase after it, and they drop the word of God. And then number three, the desire for other things. Luke chapter 8, verse 14 identifies the other things as being the pleasures of life. So the word is choked by all the pleasures of life. Any one of those three thorns will choke any good seed anytime. Many people have a preoccupied heart with the cares of this world, riches, pleasure. They all are, the heart is full of all of these things. All they care about are the affairs of this world, or the pleasure of this world, or the riches of this world. They have very little appreciation for heaven or for the riches of God. The cares of this world can choke the word of God, the nourishment of the heart. Paul tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 4 about one man who was serving with him. He says, Demas forsook him. He stopped serving God, having loved this present world. The deceitfulness of riches can choke the word of God in anyone's heart. Look at Judas. He was stealing from the common purse, the purse that he was in charge of. He was tricked by the deceitfulness of riches. Jesus said it in verse 19, that such a person becomes unfruitful. Nothing is done in that person's life for God. He brings no fruit to maturity. And not bringing fruit to maturity does not mean that the person was saved for a while and he lost his salvation. No, he never had it. He appeared to have it, but he did not have it. He appeared to have it for a while, but he did not. The names in the book of life are not erasable. People wonder about the book of life. God, who knows all things, looked at the end of time when he wrote the names in. God is omniscient. Rest assured that it will all end just the way that God wrote it. God will not be surprised by unexpected people. Oh my, how did you get in? That'd be no surprise in heaven. And then we have reception number 4 in verse 20. The seed on the good ground. This soil is clean. It is well prepared. It has been cleared, has been softened, it has been watered. It will be fruitful for sure. They are those with an honest heart, receiving the word and returning for more of it. Notice that the seed is the same in each case. The sower is not planting 4 different types of seeds. The seed is the same, and the same seed is going different direction. It is the attitude of the heart that is different. The word is the same in each case, but the attitude of the hearer, that is where the difference is. The word is stolen from the hard heart that is hardened by worldliness and sin. Not sinking in, the enemy snatches the word from that hard heart. So the first one is stolen from a hard heart. The second one, the word is starved in the shallow heart. It is excited at first, then it is disappointed by the coming of trials, coming of persecution, not happy with this. It's starved in the shallow heart. Number 3, the word is choked in the crowded heart. Choked by different thorns, the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for pleasure or other things. These thorns fill up the heart and neutralize the influence of the word of God. And number 4, the word is effective in the fruitful heart. The heart is prepared for a good harvest. So we see here our responsibility concerning the word of God. God provides the seed, but the preparation of the soil, the heart, is in our hands. It is our responsibility. We see clearly 4 different types of soil representing 4 different hearts. The first, the hard ground, represent the closed mind. The mind that refuses to take it in. Nothing goes in. Everything is stolen and devoured by the devil. They do absolutely nothing with the word. This is the hardened, unresponsive heart. The next one, the rocky ground, represents the emotional mind. It is easily interested, but it has no root. These people collapse as soon as trials or temptation come. This is the shallow, impulsive heart. Number 3, you have the thorny ground. It represents the anxious mind, preoccupied by cares, riches, pleasures. Too busy chasing everything else, they have no time for the things of God. This is the crowded, preoccupied heart. And then finally, number 4, the good ground represents the open mind, the good heart, the good hearer who let God's word sink in and he desires more of it. The person obeys what it says and is being shaped and changed by it. This is the fruitful, responsive heart. Notice the odds are not good. 75% of the time, the preaching of the word of God is not fruitful. Only 25% of the time is it fruitful, 1 out of 4. As the seed must be received and retained by the soil in order to grow and produce, so the word of God must be received and retained by the heart in order to produce fruit in a person's heart. So now that we understand the four types of soil, the four different hearts, what kind of soil would you say you are? Are you a hard soil, hardened by evil influences, evil thoughts, evil desires, robbed by the enemy every time you hear the word of God? Or are you a rocky, shallow soil, driven by emotions? No deep, strong root. It felt good when you heard the word, but now it's all gone because trials or persecution came your way for the word's sake. Or are you a thorny soil, filled with the cares, riches, pleasures of this world? The word is being choked by all those things growing inside of you. The word does not have a chance to grow there at all. Or are you a good, rich, soft soil that brings forth much fruit? What kind of heart do you have? A hardened, unresponsive heart? Or a shallow, impulsive heart? Or a crowded, preoccupied heart? Or a fruitful, responsive heart? The bottom line is this. If there is no fruit in the heart, it is a sign that the person is neglecting the word of God. Many hearts are hard because they fail to nourish the seed that fall into their heart. Their heart is lacking nutrition. The word of God is not a good luck charm to protect the house in case of a fire. It is not an insurance policy to protect people from going to hell. It is food. That's what it is. It is food. I like food. Food for the soul. It possesses a living, germinating power. It grows. It produces fruit in a person's life. The word of God is a portion of the food that God has given man to live by. Jesus confirmed it. It has been provided by God to support the spiritual part of the person. So Jesus shows us today the different receptions to the word of God. In reception number one, the word of God never had a chance to grow and germinate. The heart was hard and unresponsive. Satan took the message right away out. In reception number two, the word was not fruitful. The heart was shallow and impulsive. There was no strength to survive the pressure of temptation or persecution. In reception number three, the word failed to bear mature fruit. The heart was crowded. It was preoccupied by other things. Too many other worries crowded out the word's ability to do its cultivating work. It was prevented by excessive concern, the care, the riches, the pleasure of the world. And in reception number four, the word yield fruit, a lot of fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. The heart is open and is responsive. The soil is good. The heart is good. The heart that God has given us is indeed a very complex machine. It is as important in the physical realm as it is in the spiritual realm. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence. Work at it." Jesus said in Matthew 12:34, "Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." So let's examine our heart this morning. What is the condition of our heart? Is it open to God's word? Is it hard? Is it unresponsive? Is it crowded? Is it impulsive? Is it preoccupied? Is it shallow? Is it responsive? If you cannot tell, ask the Lord to show you. He knows your heart. It is very important that you know the condition of your heart. Make sure you know the condition of your heart. And a question to you today, is your heart tender? So we see today how important the heart is. Not only physically, we all know without it we die. When it is affected, we don't live well. We know physically it's very important. But we learn today that spiritually it is also very important. Very important. It is our responsibility to control our heart spiritually. We need the word. This is the only thing that can change a person. Absolutely nothing else will change a person spiritually. The heart, how you feed it, how you receive it, what you do with it, how interested you are with it. It's possible to see the condition of another person's heart. Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speak. So listen to the person. What are they talking about? This world, the fun, the pleasure, the concert, the artists, and all this. Listen to them. They're going to show you the condition of their heart, whether they know it or not. Out of the heart, the mouth speak. If they never speak about Jesus, about God, about heaven, about the Bible, about any of those spiritual things, they have a hard heart. The word has not sunk into their heart. Other stuff are choking their heart. Listen to them speak. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. May the Lord be with you. May the Lord bless each and every one of you. May the Lord touch you, and may He help you today with the condition of your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.